Today's gospel is from John, the first chapter, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 863. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Some of you may have heard me mention before that Rob and I spent a year in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, when Rob was on his internship year there from seminary. And in that year, he served an African-American congregation, mostly. It was called Cross Lutheran. And they did something really intriguing before and after the gospel that that I'd like to share with you this today. So before and after the gospel, instead of saying, like, "Thanks be to God," or "Praise to you, O Christ," they would sing these words, kind of a spiritual. "I believe this is Jesus, come and see, come and see. Oh, I believe this is Jesus, come and see, come and see." And so this refrain, singing it before the gospel reading and then after the gospel reading, was their kind of local tradition there to do. And every time we have this gospel where Nathanael says, "Come and see," it always reminds me of that little musical phrase that they use there. Because here Philip makes this claim, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Philip invites Nathanael to come and see, to experience who Jesus is and what Jesus is like. And some have called Philip the very first evangelist in the Bible because he issues this invitation to come and see. And so in Greek, the definition of evangelist is one who brings good news. Pretty simple, just to bring good news. But in today's world, when we think of evangelist, sometimes we have a bit of a positive connection or a bit of a negative connotation that goes with that word. What are some positive experiences you've had of evangelists? Billy Graham, yeah, someone mentioned that at 8:30 as well, that's kind of a positive example of an evangelist. How about a negative experience of an evangelist?
The door-to-door.
The door-to-door knocking, okay, people knocking and saying, "Yeah, come to my church, do this, do that." Other experiences that people have had that have been more on the negative side, perhaps? At 8:30, somebody mentioned that oftentimes there's the message is, "Be part of my church or you're not going to go to a good place after you're dead," kind of a message. So that kind of hellfire and Dalmy and my, yeah. On a side note, my my dad has this sweatshirt with Dalmatians on it, and one is preaching to the others, and it says "Hellfire and Dalmatians." So every once in a while, when I say that phrase, I say it comes out wrong because I think of that sweatshirt instead. But that's a side note. So yeah. So it'd be a great meme, but I don't know if anyone's ever made it a meme. But it was on the sweatshirt. So anyway. So for us in the Lutheran Church, sometimes the word evangelist has kind of sometimes we don't run to embrace that word because of kind of negative connotations we have with that, with experiences with evangelists in the negative way. But that's really a shame. That's really a shame because evangelist really just means one who brings the good news, one who brings the good news. And we see that in today's gospel reading, that here is the truer definition, truer description of evangelism, is just come and see, come and see. And in today's gospel, we guess that Philip and Nathaniel already know each other because there's no, like, "Hi, I'm Philip. Hi, I'm Nathaniel," kind of conversation. Philip just walks up to Nathaniel and says, "Hey, guess what? I found him. I found Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. And he is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathaniel's reaction is really quite funny because he says, "Really? And he's from Nazareth? Really?" Because Nazareth was just this kind of tiny backwater. It's, forgive me if you're from the West, but it's kind of like saying Metamora or, you know, that direction. Just this little tiny town that is maybe 20 families. So it's really not much of anything, and nobody of any importance has ever come from Nazareth. And so Philip is pretty skeptical. Really? This is where he's coming from? And what comes next is really quite interesting. Because Philip does not debate the merits of Nazareth. Philip does not debate Jesus' credentials. Philip just says, "Come and see. Come and see." And that's enough to get Nathaniel curious. And so he does. He goes and sees. Because Philip is trusting that when Nathaniel meets Jesus, then Nathaniel also will realize that Jesus is the Messiah and that he will begin to follow Jesus as well. And there's power in just those words of invitation. And that's where I think the people who knock on the door, you know, those kind of evangelists, get it wrong, because nobody appreciates being yelled at or being told that they're in the wrong. But just that invitation, come and see, come and see. And so in today's world, this is part of what we are called to do as Christians as well, is to be the bearers of good news, to be evangelists. And in many ways, not much has changed since this conversation that Nathaniel and Philip have, because people might well ask, what good comes out of being Christian? What good comes out of following Jesus? What good can come out of church? Because after all, there's so many examples of churches and denominations and problems and troubles and all kinds of horrible things that have happened in various congregations and various denominations. How can anything good come out of going to church? How can that be a good thing to follow Jesus? And that's where I think we, like Philip, need to just say, come and see, come and see. Not to debate, not to confront, but just say, you know, it's made a difference for me. Come and see. Come and see how God is active in my story, in your story, in the life of a community, in the life of a congregation, in the life of people who come to worship. And so as we think about that invitation that we are called to issue, there are a couple suggestions for how to do that or how to be about that in today's text that I'd like us to think about as well. And the first comes from Nathaniel, who is just sitting under the fig tree, just kind of having some quiet time. And it also comes from Samuel in the lesson that Marilyn read, who is just kind of drifting off to sleep there, you know, getting ready for bed, just some quiet time that Samuel is experiencing. And I think that's a word to us in today's society. Do you remember the last time you had a quiet 5 minutes? Okay, some people do, yeah. Others look at me like they never heard of that before, which is okay. But I think in today's society, those times of quiet can be hard to find because there's always something to distract us with, right? There's always the phone, there's always the internet, there's always this, there's always that. And sometimes if we're not real careful, it is easy to just spend, to give away that the opportunity for time and quiet. And I think that's important, is that we not do that, is that we save some time of quiet, some time for meditation, just to cultivate a space, a time inside us, to listen for God's voice and to listen for God to speak to us. Because in my experience, God usually speaks in that little tiny voice that says, oh, maybe you should do that. Or maybe you should do that, you go that way, or do that. God doesn't speak to me in like huge voices, like this is God speaking to me, and like fire and thunder and lightning and stuff like that. It doesn't come, for me anyway, in that big, dramatic way. It's more in the little voice. And if I'm not paying attention or if I'm distracted, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll think about that tomorrow. You know, and then the opportunity is gone, or I don't think about it, or I can't remember what it was, kind of a thing. So I would encourage you to make a little space, to make space for God. And then to take a risk. To take a risk and to follow what we've heard. To take a risk and say, come and see. And it's fascinating to me. This is kind of a Lutheran phenomenon, but other denominations have a similar issue. It's fascinating to me that people will often recommend a book or a restaurant or a song to somebody that they really don't know very well, right? But you'll find yourself saying, oh, have you tried that restaurant? Or have you read this book? It's really good. You should, you know. And yet, and that's all well and good to do that. But it's fascinating to me that when it comes to something that's more important than the best book we've ever read or the best meal we've ever had at a restaurant, when it comes to Jesus, to church, to faith, that we are much less willing to step out and say, come and see, try this, you know, come to worship with me, try this out, see what you might think about it. And that's fascinating, I think, because we are kind of, it's hard to make yourself take that risk because, if somebody doesn't like the same book that you read, not a huge deal, right? But if somebody doesn't like your church, that might feel a little bit different. But still, we need to kind of get over that and to issue this invitation to say, come and see, you know, come and try it. No, you know, if you don't like it, that's fine. If you like it, that's great. But come and see, come and see. And so those things I think we need to work on as well. And then also to share our listenings and our risk takings, that we need to invite others in and say, you know, at this point in my life, I found God helpful, or God guided me in this way. God provided somebody to come into my life that I needed their perspective or their words of wisdom, or God was active here. God provided healing there. To share that with how we've gotten through rough times or how we've gotten through fantastic times, to say, to point to God and say, look, I see God's fingerprints here in my life. Where do you see God's fingerprints in your life? And to find, to share those stories and share those conversations. In today's gospel, Philip and Nathanael have this conversation, and Nathanael comes to believe in Jesus. And Jesus promises that on their journey together, that Nathanael and Philip will see great things, that they will see amazing things. And we know what Jesus is talking about, that he's talking about the healings, he's talking about the miracles, he's talking about all that that is yet to come in John's gospel. But most importantly, he's talking about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, because in John's gospel, those things are absolutely front and center. That is where Jesus is headed, is to the cross. And that is where they will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, on Jesus himself, as Jesus triumphantly dies on the cross and rises again for us and for our salvation. And so that's really the purpose of why we need to invite others to come and see. Because others need to know that hope, that life, that love that God has for them, that we see in Jesus' ministry, that we see in Jesus' life, that we see in Jesus' resurrection. And those things are promised to us as well. So I believe this is Jesus. Come and see, come and see. Oh, I believe this is Jesus. Come and see, come and see. Amen.